KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The Gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. And when you found it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to read together, if you will, beginning now. Thou, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that is interesting about this text is that Isaiah is giving us a helpful, holy hint as to how we are able to maintain a lifestyle of peace. We live in a world that's topsy-turvy, trouble on every hand. Every time you look around, there's one problem after another thing. And if it's not one thing, it is two, three, four other things. It's just everywhere you look, issues, troubles, trials, tribulation. But that's the world that we live in. But as believers, there is a comfort that we should have in spite of this place that we call earth. That should be a place that we know underneath the skin that has an eternal truth that is far greater than what is presented to us in this place called earth. Isaiah deals with this, and I'm not going to be long because I just pray that you'll open your hearts, your minds, your spirit to grasp these truths here. Oh, this way, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. They didn't have a whole lot of money, didn't live in no fine home, weren't driving fine cars, didn't have a lot of money in the bank account, didn't have a whole lot of anything, but that was not their focus. Their focus was on the Lord. You'd hear old folk on the garret or on the porch in the rocking chair singing, "You can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus." It was something about how they kept their minds occupied with the person of Jesus, with the desire of knowing the Lord would make a way. I can't figure it out. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But what I do know is he is going to do it. And so you put the kind of trust in God that constantly kept him on the forefront of your consciousness. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you that's a good place for the Lord to be? Because if God is not there, something else is going to be in that place. We let too many things take the first place position in our minds. But if we put God first, then no matter how mountainous our troubles and trials and situations may appear to be, if we put God first, all of them will be dwarfed in His presence. Notice what the word says. Thou wilt keep. Let me deal with that first. It's literally saying God will keep. God will keep. Now, first of all, I need you to know when the writer says wilt keep, the very word keep says and suggests that God will guard and preserve. We need to understand, we can't make our own mind have the peace that God can give our mind. We can't make our own hearts have the peace that God can make our hearts have. We can't make our lives have the peace that God can make our lives have. So that's why it starts off, thou, God, will keep, guard, preserve. Listen, why is that so important? Well, if God is guarding and preserving, then the enemy in hell can't do nothing about it. Now, if God keeps you as only He can in perfect peace, and let me try this word again to help you understand. In the original Hebrew, the word perfect is not there. What's there is peace, peace. Thou wilt keep, listen, him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When I read that and I saw that and I said, God will keep you in peace, peace. I had to further search it because what it literally meant was God will keep you in peace in the spiritual realm and he'll keep you in peace in the natural realm. He will keep you in peace in the things that are connected and concerned with your inner man, your spiritual man. But how many of you know you need some peace in this world? And he'll also take care of your natural man in this world. And so what it literally means is God will give you complete peace. See, you know how you, let me help you. You know how you can come in here on Sunday morning, you know, have church and rejoice and praise the Lord. And, you know, you feel the peace of God in your heart while you're in here. And then when you leave out there and go back into the world, all hell breaks loose. Go back to a home might be filled with hell. Go to work, work might be filled with hell. Go back to school, same thing, same thing. So what the word is saying is, those whom keep their minds on the Lord, God will give them complete peace. That's simple, but that's profound. Because you'll be surprised how many believers, how many saints don't have complete peace. They got a piece of peace. They don't even have peace, peace. But the truth of the matter is, the only way that you can have complete peace and or perfect peace is if you keep your mind stayed on Him. Stayed on Him. That means you consciously make an effort to focus your thoughts not on the things that harass you, not on the things that hurt you, not on the things that try to bind you or bother you, not on the things that cause you to have sleepless nights and tears, you know, flow constantly from your eye. No. It is to put your mind on him who is able to take care of every situation, spiritual or secular, in your life. You go to the doctor tells you, well, you know, I got a bad diagnosis. And so you hear that bad news and you fall apart. But you forget what God said. You forget he said, I am the Lord, thy God, that healeth thee. We forget. Doctors say this is not going to happen. This can't happen, such and such. But you'd be surprised that God says that there is nothing impossible with him. In other words, when you take your peace and you forfeit it by taking your mind off the Lord, then the enemy brings in all kind of doubt and division and destruction to your own thought process, where you find yourself giving up and giving in and giving out instead of saying, God, I can't fix it, I can't handle it, but I know you can. Or God, thy will be done. See, peace is not going to come until God's presence is there. That's why Paul tells the church in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, or if there be any virtues, think on these things. See, all of these things are connected with God's presence, God's power, God's provision, God's protection, and God's peace. So if you're going to think on something that's going to bring God closer. Not drive him further apart from us, because we're letting fear and doubt and suspicion of whether or not God can handle. Don't you know there's nothing God cannot do? You a Christian, big old Christian, whining and crying like a crybaby because this happened, that happened. Don't you know God sometimes proves to the devil that you are more than the devil thinks you are? And when he does that, he's got to put you up to a test. But I got news for you. The test is fixed. Y'all don't understand that. The devil can't do anything to you unless he has first gotten permission from God. So if God lets the devil test you, try you, trouble you, it is so that God can prove to the devil that you are who God says you are. Little young David comes out to bring food to his brothers, coming against the Philistines and Goliath. He hears Goliath breathing out these threatenings against the children of Israel and the God of Israel. David wants to know what's going on. He's challenging a man, just one man, who's big enough, bad enough to come and take him on. And if he beats them, then that promise surrenders to them. But if that man beats him, then his army surrenders to them. And David hears all this and he's like, what's the problem? Saul was over 7 feet tall. Goliath was supposed to be between 8 and 9 feet tall. David was scrawny. He was what they call a pretty boy. But David had the peace of God in his heart. David had the word of God in his heart. And so when he looked at Goliath, listen, Goliath looked like a midget compared to God, who sat up high and looked down low. And so when David made clear he was going to go and fight him, Saul was happy that a boy was going to do a man-sized job. Now, he should have been the one rightfully fighting Goliath. But he didn't care just as long as it wasn't him. He tries to suit David up with armor and with big shields and spears and all of this stuff. They put a little scrawny David with all of this regalia on, and David took a few steps and nearly fell over by the heaviness of all that stuff on it. David said, wait a minute. He started pulling off all of that stuff. David said, you don't understand. When I was in the field, a bear came and tried to eat up one of my daddy's sheep. I ain't have no armor on then. It was man the bear. And I'll tell you, somebody needed to help the bear. See, that was another time a lion came, king of the jungle, but he messed up when he came after one of my daddy's lambs, and I had to mess him up for trying to mess over my daddy's lamb. And so, look, what God did once, he can do it again. Bring it on, Goliath. Goliath was insulted that this boy came up to challenge him. And Goliath said he was a warrior since he was a boy. And yet they sent a boy to fight him. Told him he was going to feed his hide to the air, birds of the air and all that. David said, man, you're talking a lot of smack. Tell you what, when it's all said and done, your head is going to be on a charger. And as you well know, David had one slingshot. On his way over to whip Goliath, he stopped by the brook and picked up 5 smooth rocks, put in his shepherd's bag. Goliath kept on talking and talking. David said, keep on. He walking toward him. David kept on coming toward him. Goliath kept coming. And when he could do that, the ground was shaking. He started coming. David said, bring it on, bring it on. You do know giants do fall, don't you? Yeah. And when he got close enough, he said, that's far enough. Went in his bag, put a rock in his sling. Now, he didn't have a slingshot like I had when I was coming up. The slingshot I had was made like a Y. And that was a leather piece with a strap that was had elasticity. And you put the rock in there, and you pull back and let it go. No, no, no. David had a leather strap with some leather strings on it. And he would put the rock in the middle of the leather pouch. And he was swinging around. And when he was swinging, he let one of the leather straps go. And when he let it go, it would release the rock. And it went straight in the forehead of Goliath. And there he lay. And David said, listen, I need to borrow your sword to cut your head off because I ain't got one of my own. So he takes Goliath's sword and chops his head off and goes back to Saul with the head of Goliath. Listen, if he didn't have peace underneath the skin to know that God was with him, there was no way he could have stood up against Goliath, because everything in nature and force said that he was not a match for the enemy. And some of us, my brothers and sisters, encounter situations where in the natural, we don't seem like we're a match for the enemy. But how many of you know the devil is a liar? I said, how many of you know the devil is a liar? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. David kept his mind on the Lord, and he defeated him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When your mind is stayed on the Lord, I got a helpful holy hint for you. His mind is stayed on you. That means there's a divine connection there. And if it's a divine connection, there's a flow from heaven to earth, from your mind to God's mind, from God's mind to your mind. God just keeps feeding you revelation. He feeds you inspiration. He keeps feeding you hope, and he keeps increasing your faith until you know there's nothing you can't do with God. Nothing you can't do. God proves to us on a daily basis that the only reason why you're still here is because God is keeping you. Any witnesses in the house? And because God is still keeping you, it's not difficult for you to keep your mind stayed on him. On him. Think of his goodness to you. Think about what he's done, is doing, will do for you. Think about how he's made ways out of no way, brought you up and brought you out, and is bringing you in. Think about where God has brought you from. Think about how God has worked on your behalf, given you favor where you know you didn't deserve it, open doors that should have been locked in your face. Think about him. And see, when you think about him, you can't help but be thankful for what he's done and what he's doing. And you get excited because the best is yet to come. But the last portion of that verse says this, and I'm closing. Because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee. In other words, the only way that you can keep your mind on the Lord is because you trust him. Old folk used to say, if you trust him for one thing, trust him now and doubt him later. There is no one bigger, no one greater than our God. And so we should continuously think of what he has done and can do and will do. Matter of fact, he's made it clear there are some things he can do you ain't even thought of yet. You ain't even asked it for you. You can't even imagine it. So you ought to keep your mind on someone who can do that kind of exploit. Because he trusted. The word trusted is placed in a ever-expanding circle of contact. In other words, it literally means that word trusted keeps on growing. Amen. Growing. He brought you in and brought you out of this. Now you got something else to trust him for. He went through this and then he brought you out of that. That's something else you can trust him for. The trust keeps getting greater and greater and greater and greater and greater because he keeps on proving himself. So what you whining for? Crying for? Acting like you're defeated, like you're the victim instead of the victor. You have the victory. God wants you to set your mind on him and know that whatever comes your way, it had to first be approved by God. And if God sent it your way, it is so that you could defeat it and that it could lift you up by standing on top of your enemy, defeating it. Listen, when you got a footstool, do you know what a footstool does? It lifts you up. And everything that don't take you down, you stand on top of. Somebody not hearing me here. Victory is mine. Is it yours today?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
First Kings 17, if you know what I mean, let's do it. First Kings 17, verse 22, and the text says, God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. I'm going to try that again. Y'all missed it. God listened to the prophet's prayer, put breath back into the little boy's body. He was alive. Elijah picked up the boy, carried him downstairs to the loft, gave him to his mother. Here's your son, Elijah said, alive. Let's try it again. God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. Push five people trying to make them fall and tell them, prayer brought me back. Prayer brought me back. That's the wrong person. Push five people. You only push three. I said push five people. That's three and a half. Push five people and tell them, prayer brought me back. Well, you can take your seats in the Lord's house. So here we are again with what I call this kind of homiletic conundrum. In that there are all these things on the table. On the one hand, We're in the giving season unapologetically.